Vince Ferrara on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Appreciate you. Make sure you go to our website. There is so much content on a daily basis. All those interviews, all the avails, the post game. We're on campus pretty much every day with interviews, whether it's Josh Heupel. Tomorrow we're going to talk to two more assistants. We talked to two more players today, and Jerome Carvin and Matt Butler. We're going to talk to at least three more players tomorrow. Then we'll talk to Josh Heupel again on Thursday. So there's a ton of content on a daily basis. We put up the podcast. We put up the videos. Jimmy's blog, I post blogs, predictions. There's just so much content. Even on the national level, there's a Braves feed. There's, you know, any of the local teams. There's a Tennessee Titans feed. There's so much content there, both nationally and locally. Every single show on the shows tab at the top has its own page there with a description, and then the podcast feed there as well. So any of our shows, you can listen to those podcasts. Everything is archived each hour. Individual interviews are archived in those shows. For anything that I do, whether it's the hour on Sports Talk with John and Jimmy Tuesdays from 4 to 5, which is presented by Waters, my friends at Waters Equipment, all of that is in the Vincenzo's View podcast that's on the audio tab on the website as well. So just play around with it. But all those things not only are on the website, but you can find them wherever you get your podcasts. You can subscribe to each individual show's feed, and there's the WNML All Audio feed as well. You can subscribe to that and get everything from our station, because we bring you so many great shows, tons of great guests throughout the day as well, starting at 6 a.m. all the way through 7 p.m. with Sports Talk. So there's a lot of great content there. Make sure you don't miss anything there. High school football games that we all do. We have 4 games on our family of stations each Friday night. Look for the high school football tab at the high school football page on the sports tab as well, and you can go back and listen commercial free to all those games. Halftime, Monday Night Football, Bills leading at the Titans 20-17. Spring and Sam Foreman is producing long hours. I mean, a lot of us work extra, but I don't know who works more than Sam Foreman. So great to have that friendly face on the other side. Sam, we'll talk. We haven't really talked about some of those controversial parts of the Tennessee football game. Forget the crowd, because that has absolutely been discussed all day. But another thing that really made fans mad is the scoop and score that was called back. Officials say that forward progress was stopped. I know John and Jimmy talked to on Sports Talk, talked to Gerald Hodges about, you know, how they rule that. They're, you know, if there was someone, an official that raised his hand, that stops the play there. So that's got people out fired up. Talked about the faking of injuries. Then there was a spotting at the end of Jacob Warren. Of all those things, which do you think maybe was the most impactful in the overall part of the game, in the overall result of the game? Faking injuries, the scoop and score, the spotting of Jacob Warren, which do you think played the biggest factor in the outcome, if it's any of those to you?
Well, if we're just talking about those three, and I'm not sure that any of those three were necessarily the biggest factor, I'm kind of torn between, it's easy to say the spotting of Jacob Warren, but like Jimmy has said multiple times today and said on Sunday, I thought he had it live. Looking at it on replay, I'm not as sure as I was when I saw it live. I still think he got it. But the bigger issue there is, okay, regardless of whether he made the first down or not, the ball was still spotted egregiously incorrectly.
Right.
So that's a whole different subject. I don't know how much that affected Tennessee's outcome in that game. The faking of the injuries definitely messed with the flow. I think that caused a big chunk of the problem. So I'm really torn and want to go that direction. And I know maybe it's too early to say that the fumble called back and its forward progress stopped was the biggest impact, but I'm really kind of split 50-50 between so many just clearly faking injuries, and it wasn't just Ole Miss, Tennessee guilty of it as well.
Yep.
But I think one of the reasons why Ole Miss was able to be so comfortable early, and maybe why Lane was so willing to gamble on those fourth downs, where you could argue maybe it wasn't as critical for him to gamble just knowing he has to keep up as a week ago with Alabama, is Tennessee got off to a slower start than they had the first couple weeks or the last couple weeks. If Tennessee had gone off to a Missouri or a South Carolina-esque start offensively, it makes it a lot more difficult, and you have to think a lot harder if you're Lane Kiffin about going for it on those fourth downs early in that ball game, because all of a sudden, okay, now Tennessee's closer to midfield and they've scored on us, you know, first drive or second drive. So it's hard to say if that wouldn't to say that that touchdown, if Tyler Barron's touchdown had counted, that would have sparked Tennessee and maybe woke things up a little bit. So I really lean that way, but just so many plays where there was just a fake injury after a maybe a legitimate injury followed by a that's probably a fake injury. I mean, as Coach Mahoney said, it's pretty much the coldest night we've had since football started. And that was the most cramps I think I've ever seen in a game, or a ledge cramp. So I'm kind of split 50-50. If you're making me pick between those three, I say it's kind of a tie between the fake injuries and then the fumble return that was called back early.
And the only reason I gave you those three choices, because those would be the fans' choice in terms of what's being discussed. I mean, Matt Corral, the run defense versus Matt Corral and him running the football and moving the chains 11 different times for first down. Yeah, that's a big factor. And there were other plays as well. Real quick on each of those, and then we're going to get to a break. The scoop and score, it was, to me, I don't understand why you blow the whistle or protecting the quarterback and all that. To me, that's all nonsense.
Yeah.
Should have let the play go live. I think, and the players kind of alluded to it today as well, Matt Butler said, I thought it was a trick play. And yeah. I do think they were going to run that fake, and he just was trying to play so cool and chill.
I thought it was, I faked the handoff, I'm trying to hide the ball, right. I'm casually walking. Oh, darn it, he didn't get it.
And there's two guys on me.
And they're watching me. They're not going to see it. And take off down the field, touchdown.
Yeah.
Because he's got the speed to do it, and Lane Kiffin is definitely a sneaky enough of a play caller to pull that. I thought it was a trick play, and I didn't get to see that play live. I was listening to it on the Vol Network at the time on the radio, and I thought 100% from the call it was a trick play without seeing it. I'm still convinced of that, seeing replays, and it still doesn't make sense to me how that call was made.
Yeah, I do think that was a bad call. It, to stop the play, I think, was wrong. You got to let that play out, and so that was very unfortunate. But here's the thing. You say, well, that was the difference of the game. That was in the first quarter.
Yeah.
And so that there's so many plays after that, and things happen based on what has happened prior to. So there's that connection. You don't know what changes after that if Tennessee gets that score. So you can't just say, well, that was the difference in the game. We lost because of that. And then in terms of the spotting of the foul, Jacob Warren, the spotting of the fourth and 24, Jacob Warren reached out, but he reached out with his non-football hand after the contact. If he had been able to extend that football, there would have been absolutely no doubt about it. As they talked about it with Gerald Hodges, the officials weren't there on top of it. They weren't in position. And most importantly, there wasn't a camera to give an opposite view.
That's the most egregious thing of that whole situation for me, in absolutely. My opinion, is it, and we've talked about it with Gerald in the past on Sports Talk. Part of it was COVID related because you couldn't impact it. We know that the SEC is trying to limit still this season the number of people who have field access during the game for COVID and health related issues. But that's still inexcusable for that kind of game, that marquee of in a prime time, your SEC network nightcap. Yeah, come on, give me a break.
Yeah, he said some games are, you got six cameras, just six, and some 16. I'm sorry.
That's too big of a disparity.
Yeah, you have to be able to cover these instances. The Southeastern Conference, you make so much money, and obviously you'd like to see everyone around the country improve that. But that's something that the SEC, I think, needs to get improved, so you have the video to help you in those situations. And I know, go to replay, sometimes they don't get it right. I get it, but it helps you get that call right. I think the official being in opposition and not having a camera shot from the other side to help out, I think that hurt. If that is initially spotted on the field as a first down,
it's not overturned either.
It stands.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right, we're going to talk some more Tennessee football. I got a number of other things from that game want to address, and we'll follow up one other thing with Sam. That's next. A little bonus live local show here on the station. Appreciate you joining us. I'm Vince Ferrara. I'll join John and Jimmy tomorrow, 4 to 5 p.m., as my weekly hour presented by Waters Equipment will come your way. We'll talk more about Tennessee and Ole Miss and this Tennessee football team moving forward. A lot more that we're not going to get in here on the on this hour, including we're going to talk to Chris Stewart from the Crimson Tide Sports Network. We'll talk about Alabama coming into this game against Tennessee. It's Tennessee at Alabama. Point spread, I've seen, I guess, I think 24/7 said it had it at 29 going into the game. Some others I've seen, the line started at 27. I've seen it ranging from 24 to 27, depending on what book you're looking at. Those are all big numbers, but if Tennessee does end up sitting a number of players that are questionable, and I do think that's how they'll approach it, including Hendon Hooker, who, as we mentioned earlier, Josh Heupel said he does not believe the Hooker injury is long-term. He actually started about that drive prior. He grabbed his right hamstring, so that's something that may have been, you know, something that started earlier than the play that he came out. Now, on to Joel Milton there at the end of the game. First pass, good one, got to Walker Merrill, you know, good start to that drive. Then he had the spike to stop the clock, and then he had the incomplete to Cedric Tillman. Could that have been a little bit lower? Perhaps. I mean, I know that that's a missed opportunity, but, you know, that was also, you know, tight window as well. So you wish, you know, that, you know, a lot of people in the stadium wish you would have connected with it. Cedric Tillman did get a fingertip on it. So missed opportunity there. I have no explanation for running out of bounds. I don't get that. I'd love to know if there was a reminder of what to do in that situation. So I think you gotta do that. And I also, one other quick thing. So just hard to explain him running out of bounds. And then I like Tennessee being aggressive at the end of the first half as well and calling a timeout, getting the ball back, and then they executed really well to be able to add that field goal. I think that was helpful because, remember, they got the ball to start the second half and they came out and scored on that drive. And so I thought that was a positive. Sam, a couple other just big picture thoughts from you on Tennessee Ole Miss.
I think injuries really hurt Tennessee. I mean, you're already at a point where you couldn't really afford to lose anyone and have guys that can play a full game at that SEC level or close to that SEC level. Too many injuries. I think that played a factor in the game for Tennessee. Obviously, officiating, something has to be done with SEC officiating in general. I think some of those, and this is something officiating in general. Maybe you need one member of that crew to go answer a pool reporter or a couple of pool reporters' questions to explain exactly what happened on a couple of calls. I think there needs to be more clarity. And I think the SEC is going to get a lot of criticism for what I think is somewhat fairly, you know, punishing Tennessee when maybe some other schools. Some instance, that video of Ole Miss at basketball throwing stuff on the court during a Tennessee game has been shared like crazy. I think in general, the SEC is going to get some grief from Tennessee fans, but I think this could lead to broader change in some policies that will affect all SEC fans across all sports. I think that's something that not what we want to hear from this game, but I think it's going to wind up being there. Other than that, I can't wait to see Josh Heupel when his hands aren't kind of cuffed by injuries, because I think he's quickly becoming one of the best play callers in the SEC.
Yeah, I think there's a lot to like the fight that they had in that game. And then if they do get healthy with this Alabama game this Saturday, if they sit a lot of the questionable guys for that game, you get the open week, and then maybe you have as close to a starting unit as you can for Kentucky, including that offensive line. I want to see what it looks like with both Cooper and Cade and Carvin back at guard. That's Sam Foreman. I'm Vince Ferrara. We will talk Tennessee basketball next. I'm going to go through the Tennessee basketball roster, newcomer, returning player, tell you a little bit about all of them from watching them practice and scrimmage a little bit, and what I think about them projecting. We'll do that next. Vince Ferrara, Sam Foreman, Derrick Henry back in the end zone. Beast. Absolute beast. 3-yard touchdown run for Derrick Henry. That's a 12th play of the drive, and they continue to go back and forth. They're tied at 23. PAT on the way. 4:23 left to go in the third quarter. Red Sox with a 9-3 lead over the Houston Astros in game 3 of the ALCS. They're headed to the sixth inning. I'm Vince Ferrara. We're going to talk to Chris Stewart from the Crimson Tide Sports Network in about 13-ish minutes. Saw the Tennessee basketball team practice a couple times. Really appreciate University of Tennessee giving us some open media opportunities. And then also there was the open scrimmage at Thompson Bowling Arena on Saturday. So anyone could have walked in there and gotten a look at the Tennessee basketball team and the Lady Vols practice a little bit as well. But we saw a flat out scrimmage with officials and Michael Schwartz coaching one team on one side for Tennessee. And you had Justin Gainey coaching the other side. And just real quick on Michael Schwartz, absolutely love Coach Schwartz. He's so vocal. He's fair, but he holds guys accountable. He absolutely will be a head coach running a program very soon. I mean, he checks all the boxes. Terrific guy, outstanding coach, knows the game, knows all positions of the game. He's not just a post guy or a guard guy. I mean, he works on the defense, on the staff, but he knows all aspects of it. Of the game, the energy, the communication skills. And I loved it during that scrimmage. He didn't rely on just drawing up plays. He didn't need the dry erase board to show that he knows what he's doing. It was about executing and then attention to detail and how they were doing things defensively and offensively. Just, he's a star on the staff. It's an outstanding staff in adding Justin Gainey and Rod Clark. So I think that was, incredible and really fun to see. Now, on this hoops, let's go player by player on this roster. Jonas Adu, we haven't seen yet. He's been out of practice. But, man, with that size at 6'11", we'll see maybe at some point if maybe he can work his way in. But we have not seen him as of yet. Kennedy Chandler, he's the star, obviously, in this class, a star newcomer. I mean, this kid is absolutely electric. He is dynamic. He can elude defenders in the air on drives. Just incredible. His body balance and his maneuverability getting to the lane. He went coast to coast on one drive where he went behind his back and then cut to the right, did a jump step to the left. Behind his back, jump step to the right, and then went up with his left hand. I missed the layup, but he finished at a very high clip when I saw him practice. I mean, this kid is different. Here's the thing. I think he is going to be absolutely one of the most popular players for Tennessee this year and a difference maker at a position that they desperately needed. Rick Barnes knows that, and he is riding this kid, and he is on him. I don't think he was happy with him at times during that game. He had some turnovers, and even after they were done in that open practice, he talked with him on the court and coaching him through a number of things, 5-10 minutes, something like that. So he's done this with his better players. He has a high standard for him, and as long as those guys can understand where they're at, and him wanting what's best for them, Rick Barnes is going to get the best out of them. So I think that combination of Chandler's skills, I mean, the bounce pass through traffic, just the driving ability this basketball team wasn't willing to do last year, just so dynamic. And if this kid has his head on straight, man, so exciting. Brandon Huntley Hatfield, just what we kind of thought at 6'10", he's got some offensive game. Now, I think he is going to be a guy that's going to take some time. You're not going to see the best from him at the beginning. I think that's kind of the theme for this basketball team. Don't judge them too harshly, especially early on, because there are a number of players, including the newcomers, that are still trying to learn the way for Tennessee and how they practice, the expectations, the attention to detail. And this kid has some offensive ability, but they're going to want him to blend into what they need to do and some of those fundamental things. I think that a little bit is going to take a little bit of time, but he's going to add and be a really, really useful and important piece with his offensive game and his length as the season goes on. Also, we did not see Quentin Dibunze. He is the kid from Montverd Academy from France. Really like his frame, 6'5", 217. I mean, he has put together, has a really good frame, can grow into it even more. Just a freshman guard that can give you some physicality on the perimeter. Saw him a little bit at practice, but he didn't participate in the open scrimmage. Zakai Ziegler, didn't see him in the practice, but saw him in the open scrimmage at Thompson Bowling Arena. man, he is dynamic. He can really get after you. He's very tenacious, tough. Another guy that can go through traffic, maneuver through traffic, bigger bodies. I mean, he's not big at all. He's listed at 5'9", 167. He's a kid from Long Island, New York. But, man, he is fearless. And I think we'll be in that point guard rotation. Obviously, Kennedy Chandler, but Ziegler can handle the rock. And his tenacity, I think, helps offset his height because he's still able to kind of get under guys and be a pest defensively. And they'll hold him to a high standard for that. John Fulkerson, you know, I think John Fulkerson is in a better role this year because he is a guy that likes to blend in, but he's going to be at his best in the putbacks and not be relied on as much as being the guy. And I think that's where you can see the best Folky. Hope he is 100% healthy, looked so, but he's really putting in the work to try to enhance his offensive game. Victor Bailey, man, he can shoot just like we've seen from him. I think he's going to play an important role on this team. Olivier Kamwa got really good minutes in that open scrimmage. I think there's still a little bit of an up and down with Olivier, but I think he has improved his body and his conditioning to where if he makes the right decisions mentally on the court and stays within his role, I think he can help them with some minutes. Jamai Meshack, they call him Shaq. He's another guy that can really defend, good lateral movement. He's probably more of a bench guy to give you some minutes, but at least they have some options at guard to be able to spot some minutes. Justin Powell can really shoot. He shot better in the practice that we saw, more so than in the scrimmage at Thompson Bowling Arena, but I think he'll be another guy off the bench that can give Tennessee that all-important three-point shooting. Santiago Vescovi. Vescovi, first off, he's got the black hair again. We'll see how long that lasts, but he's really worked on his body, his conditioning. His lateral movement has improved. I think he's a little bit better defensively, so I think you'll see an even better version of Santi, and he can still shoot. Josiah Jordan James, man, he looks different, looks filled out even more, has a big beard going, and can still board, still tenacious, and he's even more vocal than before. Hanji Tamba, who's a kid from Catholic, we haven't seen him much. He played a little few minutes, but I think he's behind a number of the other guys. He's still raw and is a little bit more of a project, so he's going to take time. Uros Plavchik, he got plenty of playing time in the open scrimmage at Thompson Bowling Arena. I think that he's a guy that could potentially give them some minutes, but they're still a little bit of up and down. Got to do what they want. Got to fit into what they're asking from you. And then even though he's a walk-on, I think Brock Jancic, if there wasn't as deep a roster as they have, I thought he played well and within the system. I think he could potentially give Tennessee some minutes, but I don't think he's going to be relied upon because there are so many options with this basketball team. Really, you should be really excited about this team. But again, judge them later in the year versus early in the year. I'm Vince Ferrara. We are going to talk about Tennessee at Alabama this Saturday with Chris Stewart from the Crimson Tide Sports Network. That is next. Buffalo in the end zone. Another touchdown pass from Josh Allen. This time to Sweeney. 29-24. Bills now with a two-point conversion, and they get it. Bills lead the Tennessee Titans 31-24. 27 seconds left to go in the third quarter. That started out as a 3-0 game in the first, and it has been wild and back and forth since. I'm Vince Ferrara. A little bonus local programming here on 99.1 The Sports Animal. Speaking of wild, we go to the state of Alabama and bring in a wonderful guy from the Crimson Tide Sports Network. He's on the football broadcast, voice of Alabama men's basketball and baseball. Longtime friend Chris Stewart joins us for a preview of this Saturday's Tennessee-Alabama game. Stewie, how are you?
Man, it is so good to hear your voice and from this side of it. It's great to hear you hosting. You normally are on with me. It's a whole lot better when you're driving the ship, brother.
I appreciate it. We've driven numerous buses. You know, I've told the story.
Into the water.
Big bodies of water, small bodies of water. We found the water.
Yes, we have indeed.
I think I haven't mentioned it a ton, but every once in a while, I'll drop in the fact that, do you know that I actually, at one point, was the snake, Kenny Stabler's boss. And people are like, what? And that was from, of course, the sports talk show that you and Snake and Mike Grace hosted. Yeah. On the station that programs. Crazy.
That is, that is, yes, man, way back in the day.
It, absolutely.
It was a good time. It was a lot of fun.
Yep. And all right, there's so many things we can get to. And I know you have a long list of jokes from Lane Kiffin returning to Knoxville. I mean, we could go on and on with that. But we got to talk about the
understanding where I am. I'll keep it to myself.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that personally.
No problem.
But obviously the streak is there. 14 consecutive games for Alabama. I mean, everybody knows how difficult this has been on the Tennessee end of things. And it's not the third Saturday in October. It's this month. This year it happens to be the fourth Saturday in October. But how do you feel about this Alabama team having won against Mississippi State after taking the loss to Texas A&M? Where's Alabama coming into this game with Tennessee on Saturday?
You know, I feel better. I think it would be crazy not to. But I think at the same time, Vince, I don't know that you can be downright giddy and certainly can't be relaxed and go, okay, everything's fine. We saw, I think, better what this team can be when it's at its best. But as Nick Saban basically said himself today, how he loved how they reacted, but can they remember the feeling of losing long enough to do what it takes to make sure it doesn't happen again? And it's not showing up on Saturday that's the difference. It's today, tomorrow, Wednesday, and Thursday. That determines, by and large, whether you get the job done on Saturday. Can you take care of business in the early part of the week when the crowds aren't around, the cameras aren't on, the lights aren't on? Can you handle business there to prepare yourself and understand that, yes, it's been a wonderful ride, but this team hasn't beaten this Tennessee team yet. They've got to go do it on Saturday. And I think it's a better feel than this time last week, but I don't know that you feel like everything's in the bag, whether you're talking about this week or in the weeks to come.
Chris Stewart from the Crimson Tide Sports Network joining us. Tennessee at Alabama, Saturday night, 7 o'clock Eastern time, 6 o'clock Central time. A few more minutes with you, Chris. Everybody talks about Bryce Young, so we'll save that. A lot of people have seen him a ton. Give me a couple of other very important Alabama players that are keys to success, in your opinion, that Tennessee might need to do a good job against to have a shot this Saturday.
You know, to me, it's Brian Robinson from an offensive standpoint, because even more of the burden falls on him due to the loss of the running back, good grief, Jace McClellan. Drew a blank on the last name for a moment, but Jace being out with the knee injury for the year, that's a huge loss. He was a big part of their pass game and the run game, and gave Alabama what was developing into a really, really dependable, rock-solid 1-2 combination. Was it as explosive as what they maybe have had? No. But collectively, they were making a really nice backfield for Alabama and creating a real nice combination there. Brian Robinson's a really good running back, man. He's a different guy from Najee Harris. He is not going to hurdle you. He will knock you into next Tuesday. And he is a huge part of what they need to get done. The offense is primarily, obviously, what they do in the passing game. But if you don't have a run game to take some pressure off of it, you're not going to be as effective. And he is easily the most effective runner that Alabama has.
All right, Chris, last thing. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of interest in number 10 in Crimson and White, and that's Mike linebacker Henry Toto, who, of course, was at Tennessee for his first two years. Jerome Carvin today said, you know, he enjoyed being teammates with him and looks forward to getting after him a little bit this Saturday. How do you assess what you've seen from Henry Toto so far at that Mike linebacker spot?
there's no doubt the talent's there. I think he's maybe struggled a tad to understand truly what was needed from him and expected from him and what is not necessarily what his role is, but how to execute it. And I think he's looked more comfortable in that regard the last couple of weeks, Vince. And I think he's starting to make some steps towards being the kind of guy that that everybody knows can be a true difference maker for an Alabama defense. The way it's built, and it's not, you know, certainly exclusive to Alabama, but you got to be strong up the middle, and you got to have a guy who can lead and make plays himself. And I think he's, you know, as it is for always for a newcomer, it's difficult to kind of understand where you fit in with that when you're new. But I think he's becoming more and more comfortable, and Bama gets better and better as he does.
Chris Stewart on the Crimson Tide Sports Network on the football broadcast, voice of Tennessee, excuse me, of Alabama men's basketball and baseball, co-host of the Press Box, syndicated radio show as well. You can follow him on Twitter at C Stewart Sports. Anything else? What else are you in the middle of, Chris, that I might have missed?
You know, why not? Just get ready to move here in a couple of weeks. You know, that's all. I'm sitting here trying to figure out, you know, what do we need to get packed here? What do we need to pack there? You know, other than that, I have a kid during the SEC, two kids actually during the SEC basketball tournament over the years. And now, you know, moving here in week 7 of the football season or whatever it is. I'm great at timing and planning, man. You know that.
Absolutely. But you're a beauty of a person. Great broadcaster as well. Chris, always nice to talk to you. Appreciate it. We'll catch up again soon, my friend.
Love you, brother. Appreciate you, man. Take care.
Love you. Have a great night. That is Chris Stewart from the Crimson Tide Sports Network. We'll wrap things up. Couple thoughts, update on Titans, Bills, and a few other notes next. Final couple minutes of my bonus show here on the Sports Animal. Just some extra local programming. Got Eric Kane coming up with Locked On Vols next hour. And then tomorrow night in the evening after the starting 11 with Will West. Great soccer show on the station you need to check out. Joel Silverberg, Logan Ward will come your way. Then on Wednesday, Sam Foreman and Logan Ward will come your way. Some bonus local programming here on the station here over a little bit of time. So hope you're enjoying that. There's a lot to discuss. The overlap of basketball. Talk some Tennessee hoops in the earlier this hour. And we're going to continue to talk in about that Tennessee men's basketball team as we segue and it crosses over. It's almost that time. And, of course, there's still a lot going on with this Tennessee football team. Really exciting. There's another player that made his debut, Kamal Haddon, the Auburn transfer, the redshirt sophomore, made his debut on Saturday. Had a couple tackles in the game. 47th player to make his Tennessee debut in the game. I also mentioned this earlier in the first hour of this night, the night 2 hours. Matt Corral, 195 yards rushing, yeah, but 11 of those picked up first downs, including 5 double-digit yard to go in the game. So a huge factor in the game. And then obviously Hendon Hooker going down. That is what Josh Heupel said today. He didn't think it's long-term injury. I think it's a huge development for Tennessee that they still can come back from the open week after Alabama and hopefully have Hendon Hooker. We'll see on his status for Saturday, but I don't think a lot of those players are going to play an awful lot. They keep going back and forth. Buffalo leading Tennessee Titans 31-27, 9:20 left to go. Thanks to Sam Foreman. Thank you for listening. Follow me on Twitter at Vince Sports Station, at Sports Radio WNML. We'll talk to you tomorrow here on 99.1, the Sports Animal.